just got to find ways to finish the game off. Got to come together collectively as a group, and defensively especially, because we're going to get a lot of good shots with our defense. And we can't be slacking in that fourth quarter. We got to, you know, stay alert and be aware.
First quarter, you had a 17-4 lead, up 17-4 run, and then the third quarter, you guys push ahead by about 15 points. What do you think could be done to maybe sustain these runs that you're having, and, you know, not? What do you think would be able to have your team be?
We know they were going to make a run. We just have to be solid. Basically play solid defense, make every shot that they have tough, limit them to one shot. They got a couple offensive rebounds. They got them going. A couple kick-out threes. They got them going. So just got to find a way to make sure we contain that in the fourth quarter. Just being very aggressive, finding my spots, you know, defensively, make sure I be more vocal defensively, and overall just be more aggressive. Just to stay loose.
What do you think the point guard play with Tim coming in and stepping in for John?
What's that?
What did you think of point guard play with Tim stepping in for John and then Thomas playing
excited? It wasn't just this play. You know, everybody kind of had to step up tonight, especially with, you know, one of our leaders out. He played well.
Otto, what's your comfort level with playing 18 straight in the second half, 18 straight minutes?
I mean, it's still early. I'm good to go.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Otto.
Appreciate it.
Pray for us to recover for him. He has to get through whatever he's going through. We have to hold it down while he's up, so it's pretty self-explanatory.
What do you think allowed this to slip? This one to slip away from you guys?
You know, we stopped doing it with, got us the lead.
Kevin, what's the one?
What?
You were going to say,
you got us the lead that.
Stop defending, right? Kevin, what's the mood in the locker room after these two losses? After
everybody's together, man. We got to move on. You know, it's in the past. We can't do alone what's in the past. We got to move on and just worry about, you know, getting better tomorrow.
What do you think could help improve the interior defense? They had 48 points in the paint. You guys just got 24.
Guard your man. Keep him in front of you. Not let him get to the paint. Take pride. And, you know, just have that mentality that you're not going to let your man score. God bless everybody.
First person I'm saving you first. Man, which was a cool experience. You know, it's just, you gotta stay aggressive. You know, it's like you're facing.
So the game's over, the game's on a roll. They kept hitting us. Knocking down shots, getting stops. And they did it too. And then they closed it out, we did. And it's too many of us. It's in this type of situation. We gotta be, you just gotta be a little better.
Like you said, it's two in a row. Games you have lost to big leagues before. One game is a flip it to the world of trend. What do you see as the issue between these two games in the fourth quarter?
Knowing time and just knowing time and sport. We're up 15, 9 minutes, or however many minutes, where to go. You got to realize it. You get that up to 20 the next couple minutes, you know, they're going to, coach is probably going to take them out of the game, you know, so we got to have a better mindset of that, you know, continue to keep our foot on the gas, man, you know, just keep attacking on defense and the offense, you know, we got to be a lot better, you know, I got to close our games better, we all have to, and both in the floor, and, you know, we got to learn from, you know, we're getting tired of, you know, bad faces in the locker room after the games, you know, especially if we were up 15 twice in this game, you know, so we got to close it out a lot better for sure.
Obviously, you know, John tonight, how did you think the late game aside, how you and Tim worked together for that?
Well, it was good. You know, it's always next man up. You know, we never want to get up or down, but, you know, reality is what it is. John's out. I was going to be out for a little minute, so, you know, we got to step up. I got to step up and be a lot better and lead the guys. You guys involved more. You know, Tim is doing an excellent job of doing so running the team. Tomas did a great job coming in as well. So, you know, we got guys who are capable of doing it. You know, John has, you know, those are big shoes to fill, but, you know, at the same time, you know, we trust everybody to come in and contribute. You know, those two, they did an excellent job. And Tim did a great job running the game. Tomas did too. You know, and it's frustrating for sure, but, you know, we move on from it. We won't pout about it. You know, just be a man about it.
You had the last two shot attempts. What did you see on those opportunities?
Man, I feel like I fouled on the last one, dude. You know, that's my fault because, you know, when you foul with 2 seconds left, I should have shot the ball. The pump fake, I thought was good. I thought it was good. It felt really warm. They were trailing me all night. So I've been pump faking it all that one time, and you know, it was a perfect moment for it. Run fly, it did. So it was just a little guy sitting on top of the rim, just knocking the ball out of there. So, you know, it was what it was. I definitely put it on my shoulders because I got to close the game out a lot better, you know, beat these guys better. Just learn from them.
Thanks.
I love that shot. I'll take it again for sure.
What's going on, everybody? It's a nice, wonderful week here. We're so happy to be back. Got a lot to discuss. And shout out to Damo and Octavia. Getting things started this evening. Bets were made. Can't wait to see how things end up. Someone's going to have ended up putting their foot in their mouth. And only time will tell. We'll see how that happens. Cardinal and I get to sit on this side of the table. Watch the madness from afar. But we're happy to be back, man. Fun times at night. We got a Wizards segment we're going to discuss. Octavia is back for NFC East segment. I tried to do it last week. I didn't even try to do it like the way that you did it. We just got through it real quick. You know, we didn't have any fly, eagle fly moments.
That's okay. That's why I came back heavy this week.
She came back with the hoodie, too. Like, yeah. It was real.
I should have wore a hat, too, but I thought it was too much.
Well, thank you for drawing a line somewhere.
You're welcome.
We truly appreciate that. We know how hard that must have been for you.
It was. I think it's in my bag in my car, but, you know.
More things that nobody wants. Cardell, did you want to know that vital piece of information?
I can't say anything, man. You know, no? God damn, the Heat 75-49. You know, changing the subject, but.
So 75-49 what?
The Cavs.
75-49 yeah, over Miami?
At the half on the Heat. LeBron, yeah.
Well, although, say, Cleveland's all that crazy Cleveland talk to start the year, looks like they're starting to wake up right on schedule.
Right on time.
Man, sorry, Miami. We'll see if Washington can take advantage of their division foe, looking like they're about to take a massive L this evening. But Washington's on the road tonight. They're in Minnesota, mm-hmm. taking on the Timberwolves. the interviews you guys heard at the start of the show were from this weekend's game against the Portland Trail Blazers. But before we start our Wizards segment, Cardell, this issue.
Yes.
It's here.
Yes, finally.
Tell everybody what it's about, man.
It's just new issues of my annual season preview issue. Normally, I just stick to high school, boys and girls, and, you know, just college, D1, men's and women's. But this year, I just decided to do every level. You know, I did, you know, high school, boys and girls. I did D1, men's and women's, but also took it to D2, D3, and NAIA, as well as the Maryland JUCO. So it's up at findismag.com. I just want people to try to go there and get a feel for all the talent that's out there, you know, that's shining at every level. And, you know, that's what I try to do with the mag. That's what I pride myself on. And hopefully people, you know, get informed, so to speak.
Well, I can't wait for everyone to check out the covers. I got an early preview of them. I love the covers. Okay. Shout out to both players on the men's and women's side that made the covers. I will tell you their names, but I want y'all to go check out the article. The articles inside the wonderful magazine. But to the Wizards, man, you want to start this week? You want me to start with how you want to do this, man? Because pretty much all. Hey, look, it's pretty much all bad news all the way around.
Oh, man.
I don't know how to tell you guys. If you guys follow us for a while, we believe in telling the truth through the lens of objectivity.
Right.
So whether things are going good or bad, we're going to be objectively correct as much as possible, as objectively accurate as possible. That being said, the Washington Wizards are 10-9. Much of that has to do with one end of the floor and one end of the floor only.
This is the same end we've been talking about all year.
Yeah.
All year long. Because there seems to be some people that refuse to accept the things that are very easy to see each and every game. Mm-hmm. It's almost, we're almost to the point, all right, so I'm a Niners fan. You know, you talk about Nigel. Watching Niners games, you already know when stuff's about to go bad each and every game.
Yeah.
You can write a script to it. The Wizards, we're 19 games in. We're talking about, you know, that magical 20 game mark being that scary part where at least we're past saying it's early.
Right.
And then that's the scary part where, you know, 25, 30 games in, some of those bad habits may become trends. Mm-hmm. And those affect your season going forward. So, the Wizards at a crossroads because defensively, they got it. They're up 17 on the Portland Trailblazers at home without John Wall with 8 minutes left.
Yeah, that's bad. That's real bad.
They lost that game by three.
That's real bad.
They lost that game by three.
And it's the same things we've been talking about all year.
It's literally just, for whatever reason, they get to a place where they get up double digits. They have no issue doing this, mind you. They'll play defense long enough to get a double-digit lead and then forget that that's how they got the lead, where, you know, you just mentioned that score at the top of the show, 75-49, which meant that the Cavaliers understand when you go up, you sustain. You know, other good teams understand you go up, you sustain, and that's where Washington's struggling to do. I got some stats I want to share, but I'm going to let Cardale share his, you know, get your viewpoints in on this Wizard segment before I finish it off.
I mean, it's just at that point where it's just needed, you know, all the talking need to cease. You know, no one cares anymore. Mm-hmm. Y'all playing mediocre basketball. That's why it's 10-9 speaks for itself when y'all should be better. And the thing I'm looking at is no sense of urgency. I mean, you kind of got a feel for that one. I went in the locker room post-game last game. You can see the frustration, you know, and I'm like, good. That's what needs to start happening because it seemed like, you know, prior to that game throughout the season, it seemed like they felt like they arrived, like they on par with Cleveland and Boston now, you know, how they playing. It's like a sense of, you know, we could just flip the switch and turn it on and be good. And I'm like, that's a dangerous game because y'all haven't proven nothing yet. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it may be a new team, but guess what? Their leader has rings and final appearances. You see what I'm saying? They got their core players, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, those guys were part of the team that beat y'all last year. Cleveland, self-explanatory. We don't have to speak on that. They got the best player in the game, and he's literally carrying them from that bad start they had. Now they about to be third, second in the East when they were completely out of the playoff race to begin with. And Isaiah Thomas hadn't even played, and Derrick Rose may be going towards retirement, you know, because of the injury stuff. So that makes you look even worse. And you could say, well, John Wall was out last game. The same thing was going on when John Wall was there. So everybody on the team has to look in the mirror, and it starts defensively. We talked about the play where CJ got free after the tech, the flagrant foul with Markeith and Nurkic.
When
he got free, they hit the three-pointer. We went back and looked at the replay, and this pretty much sums up the Wizards season. Gortat, you know, Vonleh cut to the basket. Markeith fought, did the right thing, got back to him so they could lob and get an easy layup or dunk. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Nurkic, a big body, set the screen on Bill to free CJ. CJ got free because he's hard to get around. So if you go and tell you see Bill get held up, why would you just point and be like, there he go? Run out there and run him off the three-point line, which would make CJ have to dribble inside. You're right at the free throw line. That would give Bill enough time to try to pick him up. Then you rotate it back to your man. That's defense. That's what you call defense. None of that happened. All he did was point at CJ. And you said in the postgame, which I saw the video, you're right, CJ kind of smiled because he could have swore somebody was on his head. He actually pumped fake because he just assumed somebody was going to be there. And he was surprised no one was there. And he shot and made it three. Momentum completely shifted. And he pretty much closed the game. I think he scored the last 7 points to make sure they went. And that can't happen. That's pretty much what the breakdown is. There's no trust on defense with certain guys. And I'll give you some stats. The Wizards are averaging 108 for the season, so it's not the offense as much as people want to always go there. They're holding opponents to 104. It's not really much separation. But here's the key part of that. They're giving up 107 at home and 101 on the road. How is your defense worse on the road than it is at home? That's preparation. That's some deep, man. That's some, and I don't know what, like, we just got to like that type of attitude. How is there no sense of urgency at home? If anything, you protect home. Last year, they did a great job of that. Now, it's like reverse. Something got to change, man, or they're going to if they make the playoffs, they're going to be one of the last seeds, and then they're going to have to deal with Cleveland and Boston early rounds. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that problem. Or you're going to be in the middle pack, and then you might have to go to war with a Buck team or Toronto or a Philly or somebody that's going to make you have to work to get that win. And by the time you get to Cleveland or Boston, you're going to be out of it. And they're going to get you up out of there. Mm-hmm. To me, this year was supposed – and it's no excuse. The bench is better. You see what I'm saying? Like, last year, they literally had to play with five, sometimes six, with Uber development players. This year, you literally can go 9 and 10 deep. The bench is doing an amazing job. Like, truthfully, they're saving them. They're keeping them in games because they're averaging 41 points a game. Like, what more do you want from the bench? But the starters are the one that's closing out the game, and then you see defensive lapses and mental – come on, man. The breakdowns, it's just – it's frustrating, man. Like, you had that game. And we knew Dame and CJ was going to get going because in the first half, CJ was in foul trouble.
Yep.
That's when the Wizards got their lead. So, and then, like you said, and it makes sense. No disrespect to Tim Frazier and that, but they know he's not a threat in the clutch. They're going to be looking for Bill. So what they did is CJ got his fifth foul guarding Bill. They switched. They put Connaughton on Bill, and he went and guarded Frazier. So – And why couldn't the Wizards kind of even – you should recognize that. Be like, all right, let's pick and roll and, make him switch so we can get him up out of there.
One tick – and all his fouls were ticky-tack silly fouls. And the guy that got you out of there ended up on the court the last 8 minutes without a foul.
And that's my point. Because not recognizing the situation – and Bill spoke on that, and he said that. He was like, we were up 15 with about 8 and 7 minutes mm-hmm. left. And he said we should have recognized that we can get that thing up the early 20s.
Yep.
Stotts probably would have sat down and just gave up. Like, all right, it's just not our night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's recognizing stuff, man. Like this, and it's not like these guys are young, man. They're a veteran team. It's just, man, like that's what's frustrating. Really, they're beating themselves more so than the teams are beating them, and that's the most frustrating part.
And the last thing before we move on is, and what speaks to the frustration more so than anything else is that this little patch of the season, this quarter of the season, can really affect them later on. And defensively, they're 15th in defensive rating at 103.8. Mm-hmm. And how this works for people who aren't so familiar with advanced stats, you want that number low. 103.8, 15th in the league, that's middle of the league. Second chance points, we talked about this pregame against before the Portland game. Mm-hmm. Talked about you got to finish defensive possessions with a rebound. Teams are averaging 13.5 second chance points against Washington. That's way too many. Mm-hmm. Way too many. So that means not only if you get a shot up, you know you're getting a second and third chance. And we saw that in Portland where Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh, why they didn't have 20 and 10 or something like that. Those extra possessions, you know, those add up when the team is struggling. Portland shot 3 for 15 from 3 in the first half. They're like the fourth best three-point shooting team in the league. You know, we've seen the Wizards do that in the half earlier this year where they just shot horribly. But they're a good offensive team. Like, you can't hold somebody down that offensively gifted for that long. You knew they were gonna; those shots were gonna start falling, and it cost them. And lastly, with that offensive thing, just to put this to rest for quite a while, the Wizards are shooting 36.8% from three as a team. Mm-hmm. It's not an offensive thing. We don't need to hear that anymore, just at all. And they're also top 10 in field goal percentage and 3-point percentage in the league.
And it's not a Scott Brooks thing. I'm tired of, tired of the people bailing out the players for, you know, like the coaches. We see that in Memphis right now. It's, nah, man, it's the players. They're getting paid. And they're getting paid a lot of money.
You know, come on, man. The players have said this all year.
So then what's the problem?
Like, it's literally the players have to hold themselves accountable. And they're the only ones that can change this. That's it.
No, it has to be a player. See, you need those Kobe. You need what he called asshole. Excuse my French, who don't care about your feelings. Like, go to that point, get your slow ass out there, man. He ain't got to like it. But do that, you know what I'm saying? Or like, hey, yo, Brooks, take him out, man. We need somebody. Hey, Mike Scott, come on, you ready? Like, you need that. You need an a-hole on the team to keep everybody in check. Like, you hear them in post-game, and they are talk. But you know who they're talking about, but they're talking circles. They won't actually say
it's
that
been
person.
Like that for like five.
Come on, man. Like, you got – that's a – but – guys tend to play better when you call them out because then it's personal. It's pride, especially in the press where it's going to be circulating Twitter. Everybody, oh man,
it's going to be memes.
Yeah, so then you got to show because everybody going to be looking at you like he called you out. What you going to do? So you going to step up? You not? So it's really on them, man. And it's certain players defensively that need to get their act together. Otherwise, it's going to be up and down all season.
We're going to look back on this part of the season, and people are going to wonder what happened. This 10-9 start when there was no reason for them to lose 7 of these 9 games. Absolutely no reason at all, especially for the caliber team they are, because it's not like they can't play defense. They have the personnel to do so. They shouldn't switch everything, but they have the personnel to play better defense that they're playing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a quick break, and when we get back, Cardell got some high school hoops and a JUCO report for you guys. Right. We'll be right back. You're watching The Focus. Welcome back. Welcome back. Cardell, the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, man. You know, this is a good week. You know, high school hoops in the area is tipping off for the most part. I know some teams already got started, but for the most part, all the teams are starting to get in the mode first week of December. That's when they usually start. I was invited to this Saturday, the Morgan Wooten Tip-Off Showcase, which is going to be held at Bishop O'Connell in Virginia. And, you know, I'm interested in seeing a lot of teams that will have a lot to say as far as who win championships and who will be ranked in the All-Met and all that stuff, you know, late in the season. The first game at 12:15 will be Phelps out of D.C. taking on Wakefield out of Virginia. At 1:45, a program we all familiar with, Riverdale Baptist, will be taking on Friendship Tech, who's coming up in D.C. 3:15, we have McKinney Tech out of D.C. versus St. Vincent Pilati. 4:45, Bullets out of Maryland taking on Tacoma Academy. 6:15, McDonough, you know, featuring Noah Lockie, who's going to Florida. We taking on Sidwell Friends, who got their own star player, Sadiq Bey. And at 7:45, Georgetown Prep, who point guard Jared Bynum, I think he's going to St. Joe's, taking on Bishop O'Connell in the, you know, the headline game. So if y'all can, make sure y'all go out and check that out. A lot of heavyweights. It should be some great basketball. I know it's going to be some great coaching looking at those programs. So, you know, it should be a fun time. I'll definitely try to have a recap of what's going on next show. So, you know, stay tuned, man. Hopefully guys live up to the billing. You know how the hype goes. So, but also in the Maryland JUCO side of things, we're going to start with the men's. So far this season, standout team has been Allegheny College in Maryland. They're 8-1. Garrett College, they're undefeated. They're actually 6-0. And, you know, friend of our fan, you know, our show, PG, 6-2. They got a great staff, man. I know they reloaded. They lost a lot of players and stuff. They got signed, went on to the next level, which is a great thing. But coaches staff, their system, man, you know what I'm saying? They're very disciplined. They're very structured. And they get those guys working and get those guys to play. So, as usual, salute to them. A couple players you might want to check out. Montgomery College guard Colin Turner, tearing the JUCO up, man. He averaging 31.4 points a game, 53% shooting from the field, 41% from three, 76% from the free throw line, along with 4.3 boards and almost a couple assists a game. I mean, when I say he's destroying Maryland JUCO, he's destroying.
I'm just listening to that
line. 53 from the field.
like it's one thing to get those points. That's one thing, but to be that efficient, that's dangerous, man. You got. Hey.
Not only are you dangerous, but you understand what you're doing.
Hey.
At 53 and 41, right?
Yeah, making good shot selection.
He get that free throw percentage up. We talking 50, 40, 90?
Hey. You can never have too many shooters. So, 4-year programs, hey, make your way to Montgomery. Second player, DeAnthony McCormick out of CCBC, Catonsville, up in Baltimore. He's averaging 29 on 60% shooting, 33 from the three-point line, 72 from the free throw line, along with 7 boards and almost a couple of assists. And also from Southern Maryland, Sean Scott, 24 game on 62% shooting and 70% from the free throw line and 6 rebounds. Like I said, man, it's a lot of talent year in year out in Maryland JUCO. And, you know, JUCO kind of had that reputation, that stigma. But all I know is when they leave, I keep track of them. Even when they leave, they produce. They help, they help teams on the next level. So if you're a college team, 4-year university, D2, D3, D1, you need help. You might want to make your way and check out these teams and check out these players. On the women's side, the standout team so far, Hartford.
Surprise, know, surprise.
They're like UConn. They're undefeated, 5-0, as expected. Montgomery College, 6-2, and Cecil College is 6-1. But here's some notable players other than the Hartford players that you might want to keep an eye on. Autumn Fossers-Field, she's a guard, you know, forward, versatile guard. Out of Anne Arundel, she's averaging 22 points a game, and almost 10 rebounds a game, 9.5. She's getting it done. PG on the women's side, Gina Seifert, She's actually playing forward center, but she's not a forward center. She's just real tough. She's averaging 19 points on 45% shooting. And Maryland JUCO leading 14.4 rebounds a game.
14
without being a forward or a center.
Nah, she's a true forward center. She's just down there. Hey, she getting in there, man. Like, yeah, we're going to get the W's any way, by any means.
19
to 14. Right. And then guard out of Allegheny, Janae Bean. She's averaging 18.7 points a game, 40% shooting from deep. And also herself, I think she's a 5'9 guard. She's almost averaging 10. She's averaging 7.3 rebounds a game. So, yeah, I'm telling you, it's talented. You just got to check them out. Yeah, it's gems every year. Also, a couple high major, you know, university programs you might want to keep an eye on. Towson. You know, most people, when you say Towson, they're actually 6-1 on the season. I checked them out last night. They're pretty talented. They actually have a shot at, you know, getting a CAA crown, and, you know, that would guarantee them getting in a tournament. I saw them play Division III St. Mary's College last night. That was my first game. But I just really wanted to see what Towson was about, if they really had the talent to do some damage, and they do. They beat St. Mary's 90-57. Guard Zane Martin had 24 points. He's a sniper. He don't miss. He shot 9-12 from the field, 5-7 from three. And also keep an eye on senior guard, who's a local kid out of St. John's, Mike Morzell. Mm-hmm. And transfer from Cincinnati, Deshaun Mormon. Mm-hmm. Highly athletic combo guard. Unfortunately, GW over the weekend fell to 2-4. Tomorrow they take on Morgan State at 7 p.m. And the GW women's, they fell to 3-4 after the loss of Princeton. And they take on 17th-ranked USF South Florida December 2nd at 2 p.m.
Man, last thing to add to that college basketball real quick. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rob Knox over at Towson. Our guy Rob.
Yep. Took care of me. Took real good. Yep.
Got to one time. Otherwise, got to shout out family for doing the right thing. And then Maryland women's. They went down to Miami last week. Not a bad place to spend Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
For the Thanksgiving tournament. They did win the tournament.
Okay.
Miami native Shanice Lewis and Aisha Small. They showed out. Aisha Small won the tournament MVP. So they bounced back quite, you know, they're trying to bounce back from some disappointing losses earlier this season.
Disappointing to UConn and South Carolina.
I'm talking about just I'm sure they were disappointed in the way that things, the outcomes.
Right.
You know, just for them because they played hard all the way through. So just
no, not you. I'm just saying.
Oh no,
most people take that, man. No. Like
on the outside looking.
Like I mean,
they're not bad losses, okay? On their resume, those aren't gonna hurt them. You know, those are like I don't even know if you call them asterisks, right?
Nah.
Okay, but this week they play Virginia, so it's gonna be a fun matchup down in Charlottesville. Then after that, they go to Kristen Conroy's. It's like a hometown game for her to take on the University of Akron. Akron, and then they come back next week. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, Miss Fly, Eagles Fly over there.
I wasn't even going to say anything.
And then we'll get into rapid fire, and you can hear the disdain in our voices.
I'm going to keep it quick, I promise.
I mean, it doesn't matter, man. We'll be right back. You're watching The Focus. We're back. As always, man, we have great times during the breaks. Oh, my goodness. These two with this NFC East up. Man, I can't wait till football season's over.
No, you can't.
But I'll save you the floor, George, and we're happy to have you back for the segment.
Gracias. So I am going to keep it short and sweet this week. It's not too much to talk about. NFC East, of course, the Giants are now mathematically out of the playoffs, just so you know. Mathematically, they have now been deemed out of the playoffs, in case y'all didn't know.
Hold on. How do you find a new way every week? The fire one. Okay, exactly. On your
these are things that I find out throughout the week. People report this stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's a nice little fact. You know, throw that out there.
Look, I'm not knocking you for sharing. I'm just simply saying, we're going to review the tapes. You started saying over the shot every time. Continue, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, because like next week, I pretty much just want to leave them out. But I thought, I mean, at least be nice, you know. So the Giants are now 2-4. They played against the Redskins on Thanksgiving. Eli Manning, 13 of 27, 113 yards, one interception. Gallman, 9 carries for 37 yards. King, 2 of 4 targets for 36 yards. So, as you can tell, there wasn't much offense going on for them. They didn't score any offensive points. I think they scored a field goal, I'm sorry. But their only touchdown came from a Janoris Jenkins pick six all the way to the house. So it's getting hard to even talk about him to this point. If you don't know at this point, you know, Eli has been benched. They got Geno starting next week, and they already saying the third string quarterback will see some time as well. So, you know, I feel like they're giving up, so we should give up too. And just leave them out of this segment next week. Moving on, they did play against the Redskins. The Redskins, the score of the game, I don't even forget. It was like 20 to 10. There we go. 20 to 10, that's what it was. Kirk was 19 of 31, 242 yards, two touchdowns, one reception. Piron, 24 carries for 100 yards. And Jamison Crowder, 7 of 10, 141 yards and one touchdown. So you can see that the Redskins youngins are kind of stepping it up. You know, Piron being a rookie and having to, you know, take over for Robert Kelly and then Chris Thompson with an injury to his leg. So, you know, it's good for them to win that game. You know, it's a game that they should have won. It's a game they need to win, of course, to stay in the wild card mix. They did also still have some, you know, alterations to their offensive line, still trying to figure out who's in, who's out. But they did a decent job, although I believe Kirk was sacked about six times. But that was more so on the fact that the Giants' secondary were doing so well. So the offensive line was holding up, but they, you know, you can only hold up for so long if he has nobody to pass the ball to. So, I mean, it's a good look for them. I believe they play the Cowboys this Thursday night, so I'm pretty sure that's a big game. Both teams need a win.
I just want to know, do the Redskins have a chance at winning the Super Bowl?
No, not at all. Okay, let's go ahead and just – nobody in the NFC East but the Eagles have a chance, and that's not even me being biased. I'm not even being biased. Everybody else is out of it. Let's go ahead and – it's too – because it's, to me, it's too much other talent in the NFC as a whole.
Right.
The Eagles are already, you know, I'm not even trying to be biased. They're 10-1. They're already going to win the NFC East, so they're already a lock to be in the playoffs. Everybody else is looking for a wild card. You got too many in the NFC South. You know, the Panthers got to win this week. The Saints are still winning. The Falcons are still in there. It's too much talent for them, in my opinion, to get in at this point. I mean, like we said, it is the NFL. Anything can happen. We still got some games left, but I don't see it, to be completely honest. Moving to the Cowboys. The Cowboys are now 5-6. They played the Chargers and got demolished. It was bad. It was hard to watch, too, and it was on Thanksgiving. 28-6. It was really hard to watch. My brother and my father are Cowboys fans, and we all then Thanksgiving, I'm just looking at them, and they looking at me like, don't say nothing. So it was pretty bad. Dak Prescott, 20 of 27, 179 yards, two interceptions. Rod Smith, 9 carries for 41 yards and one touchdown. And Williams was 4 of 5, 54 yards. It was pretty bad. Like, it's – all around, you know, people, of course, are still, you know, coming out and saying, is Dak a top-tier quarterback at this point? You can't really rely on too many injuries at this point now. You know, yes, Sean Lee was still out. They got Smith back. Zeke is still out, of course. But it's not even that. It's just that their defensive struggles are very apparent. Their secondary is very weak at this point. You know, they went almost 10 full quarters without a touchdown. Dak hasn't thrown a touchdown in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's that time. So that's why I'm saying this game coming up on Thursday for both teams, for the Redskins and the Cowboys, is a very pivotal game. So it does go back to this whole thing. It's always like no matter how bad each team is, how bad or how good each team is, they always seem to show up to play each other. So I'm looking forward to see what happens on Thursday between both of them. Last but not least, Eagles. 10-1. Carson was 23 of 36 for 227 yards, three touchdowns. LeGarrette Blount, 15 carries for 97 yards. And Zach Ertz, 10 of 12 targets, 10 yards, one touchdown. I honestly didn't write anything down about them. I'm just gonna, to be completely honest.
Where are we at right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I got a question.
Yeah, sure.
Can I ask this real quick? Electric slide. I mean,
that's for us. So we would like to know, not once but twice, why is your team so disrespectful? Yeah. Electric slide.
Y'all see, some visual line stuffers, like, man. Y'all rub it in.
This is my thing.
How do you do it once? It gets called back. You get another pick. and then do it again.
On the field.
I mean,
I think I saw a coach out there with that.
With 2 minutes left.
I saw the coach, man.
My thing is this, from the reports that I've heard, it's just that they they go out there and they have fun, you know? The defense takes a lot of pride in everything that they do this year, especially because they weren't pegged to be that great this year. You know, the defense was our Achilles heel this year. So, yeah, I mean.
It was like 50 people doing
it. Exactly.
It was, though.
Dude's engine on crutches out there. Come on.
It was a lot of different things going on. You know, a lot of people still talking about the three different running backs that they have, how they're getting all their three running backs incorporated at all times. Wide receivers are doing great. It was even a Torrey Smith sighting this week. You know, and I like Torrey Smith, but I like Torrey Smith. I'm a Maryland fan.
I'm just saying, just shoot, just shoot.
He said exciting.
Nah, but I'm saying because he hasn't gotten involved in the offense that much.
Carson, step your game up.
I'm not. Wow. Hey, look, it's time for rapid fire.
And I'll end it with Fly Eagles Fly. I'm done.
Carnell, please, so we can move on from that last statement.
You're right to it. Okay. Oh, man. Let me get this out of the way since fresh off of it.
Okay.
Is Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz front runner for MVP right now?
Yes.
Dang!
It's between him and Tom Terrific yet again.
Yeah.
Tom Terrific's in that conversation yet again.
I need you to be more definitive.
I'm sorry.
Come on. Who is it?
Look, it should be Carson, but sometimes in NFL,
it is Carson.
No, it should be Carson. If it's me, it's Carson.
Okay.
But it's the NFL, and anytime you're running against Tom, things can happen.
That's very true.
That's all I'm saying.
I believe it is him. I believe that most of the people in the NFL are on the same page. But like you said, you know, you can never count Tom out.
Didn't he get Super Bowl MVP when James White had like 75 catches? So I'm just saying, like,
he should be.
Okay. John Harbaugh, Michigan's head coach, what?
Nothing.
0-3 against Ohio State.
Nothing.
What does that say?
I'm too petty, so I'm removing.
Oh, no, I want to hear the petty first.
Oh, no, I'm too petty.
No, I want to hear it. Go.
I'm too petty, man.
Mm-mm. Can't get out of this, no.
I mean, you know, just sometimes if you have a trend of not being able to win any big games, sometimes it follows you. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, man.
Just, you know,
I like that petty.
I don't know what it's like, but sometimes you get in close situations. You call timeout when your team didn't need you to. Sometimes things happen. I don't know what to tell you. You know, crunch time ain't for everybody, but that's Michigan's problem.
Wasn't they talking about trying to sign him to a forever deal or something?
It's between Michigan and Michigan now. Ohio State just keep beating him.
Oh, man, that's man, you win that, man.
I know, I'm like.
Especially, he brought so much success to your team. What's the animosity?
Define success.
That went to a Super Bowl?
Hold on. How ungrateful are y'all?
Who, me?
Look at y'all name. Yeah, I can talk about y'all.
The reason I feel how I feel is when he went against my quarterback the way that he did, I got time
with
for
cabinet?
Him. Yeah, I got time for him.
Oh, okay. All right. Since he did, right. I forgot about that. You right.
When that brand new, like that dude wasn't predicated a bunch off your success, I ain't got time for that.
Okay. Duke freshman, Marvin Bagley. Is he the best wing prospect since a fella from this area named Kevin Durant?
I don't think he's there yet.
I'm probably with Octavia. I'm not quite there yet.
You see it, though. You can see it. I'm just not all the way there yet.
I think he's amazing. Give me like another 10, 15 games or something before I feel that. Say that.
Okay.
He's tough, though.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning was benched for Geno Smith. What are your thoughts?
It's about time.
Jaguars finally about to get a quarterback.
I mean, because I feel like it's what else you might as well. It's like if you still like him as a quarterback, why continue to put him out there to get himself hurt or whatever and see whatever, you know, everybody knows how Geno plays, but, you know, see how he is in the office. I mean, at this point, you ain't playing for nothing. Might as well just go out there and see what works and look forward to next year.
You're going to be drafting a quarterback high anyways. So
pretty much. So
let Eli rest.
Blake Griffin. Last night, said reports are he could be out 2 months with a sprained MCL. Are the Clippers done?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been done for a while.
I'm with Octavia then. I'm just waiting for them to finally realize that they're done.
Just blow it all, like, yeah. Just blow it all up. And I feel bad because Blake starts to get, he gets hurt a lot. A lot, a lot. He has that injury bug. And it's always something every year. Every single season.
Chris falls somewhere like, see?
It's not me.
And he just get back from being hurt.
True.
Nah, I ain't talking about the hurt part. He's like, see, I told y'all this is the coach. He's talking about the coach. I ain't talking about that. Hey, would you trade DeAndre Jordan for Tristan Thompson if you were the Clippers?
If I'm the Clippers, Cleveland got to give me more than just Tristan.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Like, I do think you trade DeAndre because, like, it's belly up now. Mm-hmm. Like, season's done. You finally got to accept that it's time to start this thing over again. Mm-hmm. And due to the Nets not doing super Nets thing, I don't think it's a top three pick anymore. It's kind of like, it's still a top 10 pick, but we don't know with the East and how things are going. Like, there's no guarantee that pick's going to be what you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard for me to trade DeAndre for a 6'6 center. Like,
a 6'6 center?
Tristan, just, I don't know.
He's 6'11, what are you talking about?
You feel like he's 6'11"?
Tristan Thompson?
I don't feel like he's 6'11".
Are you serious?
I don't never know how tall any of these people are.
No. He's a brother, dude.
No, tall.
But he's still hurt, too, right?
Yeah.
He's not 6'6".
He played like
it. It says 6'9".
If you say he played like it, then that's different.
That's how I feel about him, petty. So.
Oh, I thought you
said. He's probably 6'7", 6'9".
I'm about to say, that ain't.
Just for me, I don't feel like it's fair value if you get. Like,
no, he's a better. Yeah. You're basically trying to get LeBron another.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna do the deal with Cleveland, I gotta tax him.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be more than him.
I gotta tax him. But what else do you get?
That would just be petty towards Golden State, man. If y'all ruin our chance, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they did.
Look, but you wanna know what? I can't rule that out either. If you LA, would you?
I mean, they did though, because the Clippers were supposed to be the team that did what the Warriors did, but the Warriors just came out of nowhere. It was like, nah, that's enough. So. Okay, better freshman guard, Colin Sexton out of Alabama or Trae Young out of Oklahoma?
I'm riding with Sexton at the moment.
I'm going to have to agree with that.
Man, I can't even get
it. It's a very hard decision.
Just for the record, it's not like it's an easy choice.
And it's not like it's a that's big gap.
And that's why I'm saying the key part of what I said, folks, is I said at the moment.
It could change in like an hour.
A couple
both of them.
They tough. Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them dogs. They carrying their team. Like, I like Sexton. How he be talking this and he'll let
he, like. Penny Hardaway,
he was doing that on the circuit, though. Like, man, your son garbage, man. You know, the father, you want to just spill him. You know what I'm saying? But he was cooking his son. Like, you're like, damn, man. Like. He a bad boy. Then, you know, the other night, they got three players. And Avery pretty much like, hey, street ball, it's playground ball. Look, just pick and go. You know, he was giving them buckets. I'm like,
come on, man. I got a question, though. Can you put your mind and like, wrap your mind, if you're the opposing coach, they got three players, and they start, they're successful, though.
First of all, they just trapped that, you know, like, y'all, let's
so
see the other
just
two.
Just me that felt like somebody not named Colin Sexton should have been scoring.
Hey. Yeah, and in a sense, it's still hard because with three players, you throw all the X's and O's, just hoop. And he does that well. That's what he do. Like, you know what I'm saying? So just give me some space. I can get a shot off, you know. So, I mean, it's like growing up. You're going to play 1-on-2, 1-on-3 sometimes. And you play, like, you know, 21 or whatever, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun. He took it back. David Fizdale was fired by the Grizzlies after he benched Marcus Gasol in a loss, and Marcus Gasol complained that he didn't like it. Was the firing warranted?
I don't think it was warranted. I think Gasol came out and said that he never, you know, said, like, hey, I want him gone or anything like that. I don't think it was warranted. You know, they try to say that they did it to keep the peace amid throughout the rest of the season. I think it was a cop-out. I think there's some type of underlying situation or something that we don't know about. So I definitely think it was foul. I don't think they should have did it.
I just think it was an organization whose front office has been a little bit reckless in the past year, sometimes losing players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is a players' league. I don't think it was warranted because the hand that Fizdale was dealt this year, most coaches might not have done as well as he's done, where you haven't really even had your whole starting lineup in. We're only like 19 games in a season. Almost everyone's hurt. You're fielding a competitive team. It's not like your team quit on you. So the star player said something or whatever, but I just feel like it's an overreaction. And he didn't deserve to be fired, personally.
And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. I feel like they be bailing these players out, especially with Mike Conley out. And I look more at the front office because you really made the season what it is when you let the heart and soul roll. Zach Randolph and Tony Allen. Mm-hmm. And we seen Zach Randolph. He was cooking the Wizards, man. I'm like, older. You know, I'm like, hold up, man. Y'all said he was done. Meanwhile, as Steven Jackson pointed out, you have guys making $100 million who don't really have the heart that those guys have. You going to choose, like, if anything, buy them out and get the money to Z-Bo. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just – but a lot of front offices do that, and a lot of fans feel like it's the coaches. And they blame the people that they can see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the people over them that makes those decisions, man. And, you know, you have to just see – you have to really just ask yourself, if you're playing the league, are Memphis trying to win or are they just trying to sell tickets? Because, I mean, other than Marc Gasol, who's – you know, kind of not, I mean, he's still playing at a high level, but not as high as a level as like an Embiid or Porzingis or Cousins and Anthony and all these other bigs. You know, Mike Conley's always in and out. You have to ask yourself, like, as a play, if you're playing the league, would you want to go to that organization? So how are they going to build? And so far, the draft picks you had, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the Harrison twin and all them, they ain't done nothing. So where you headed? What's the direction? So you just going to make him the lane? Like, it's not going to get better. And then you Bernie Bickerstaff, who done had, like, 50 jobs. I remember he was coaching the Wizards when I was a kid.
He's been an assistant for Charlotte for, like,
that's my point, man.
5 years.
And they never won. Facts. Never. Man. So it's just a, hey, if I'm Fizdale, I'm not, man, you know what, good. Pat
you
Riley,
what?
What's up?
I'm
let me come back home.
I'm anxious to see what contender he ends up on the bench on. Because he's not going to be out without a job
for long, yeah.
Like, I just don't see that. And that's just... Memphis has been going down here for like the last 6-7 years quietly, little by little, over personnel decision. Like you said, it's the people we can't see making those decisions. Mm-hmm. And what is this, the fourth fired coach in like 4 years or something?
Yeah, and he's coming off a year where they made the playoffs. You see what I'm saying? It's just, then you lose Zach and T. Allen. That's the heart and soul of your team. Vance was on that team. You lose him. Matter of fact, y'all traded. I think they traded him. They all went to Sacramento.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And then what's it called? Like, you had a youngin that was playing behind us last year, Wayne Selden, supposed to start this year, and he's hurt. So it's like, even the guys, like, you know, he had some young guys behind him that were groomed last year, like Selden, yeah, NSJ, Michael Green. None of these guys are available. What do you want the man to do?
I mean, so you basically, in a sense, got like a D-League team.
Yeah.
Come on, man. So you
in the West.
Yeah, and he's
in the West. In the West.
Hey, man. It's also, NFL news. Rams coach McKay. Reports are he calls audibles for golf. Is that too controlling? Do you lose respect for golf as a quarterback, allowing this coach to do all that? What are your thoughts on that?
No, the offense works. The Rams are somewhat successful after not being successful since, like, the greatest show on turf. I don't care if he calls every play for the dude and doesn't let him think. If it works, it works. It's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a big deal. And I definitely think it's because they probably have like a close-knit type of relationship. So he probably feel comfortable with him doing it too. And although, you know, people talk about sophomore quarterbacks, like, he didn't start last year. You know, I feel like he's still learning, you know, to play at the professional speed. So I think it's a good thing to help him. And if it turned into a W, that's all that count.
And the last thing with that is, I do think, like you said, you got to throw out the Jeff Fisher year, right? So
years.
Right. I was just talking about for golf. Jeff Fisher year, right? So essentially, like you said, it's your rookie year. And I like that the coach is kind of like, so if anything goes wrong,
it's
you can't
on him.
Guard the kid.
Yeah, I respect that. Good point. You know, football playoff came out today, right before I came in the studio. Clemson is the new number one.
Hey.
Followed by Auburn, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin, rounding out the Final Four with Alabama and Georgia right behind them. Are y'all cool with that?
Xavier.
I'm fine with it.
I'm cool. I'm just waiting to see which one of the four teams takes the L that puts Bama back in.
Mm-hmm.
You said Bama's like right on the other side of that line.
He's like
right?
Fifth. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just waiting to see which one of them four.
And they're like, all right, and we back.
Okay. And last question. Kevin Durant spoke out on being black in America. And here's a full quote. He said, finally waking up, to be honest. Just kind of seeing how rough it is for an average black man. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, a black man makes one mistake. I see how far we get pushed down. For me, I kind of grew up in this basketball world, whereas my talent kind of overrides what I look like in terms of what value can I bring to you outside of playing basketball. I bring a lot of value to people as far as how I treat them, how I encourage them, how I just try to be a good person to them. I feel there's like a lot of black men that have those traits, but they often just get stereotyped or judged off of one incident or not given a second chance. So if I find something that's empowering to people that look like me, I just try to send a subtle message that I got your back and I hear you. And I try to inspire you as much as I can from just being in the world as a black man coming up. Even though I was looked at and viewed a little differently for it, but I'm still a black man. I understand where you're coming from. How you feel about that quote?
I guess Kev's grown up a little bit. I'm cool with the quote. Mm-hmm. I think it's a place where, you know, as many athletes, black athletes as possible, especially male athletes, need to continue to speak out. Because everyone's not an athlete. And even athletes get looked at and treated differently, too.
As cabinet.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm gonna give him, you know, definitely get some points for me for just taking some time out to realize, because he doesn't have to look outside of himself. He doesn't have to. So, you know, I think it's cool that he did. I have no issue with the statement.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's I think this whole debacle of him going to Golden State kind of like put it to the forefront of his mind. Because if you think about it, like, it's the same thing kind of LeBron went through. When LeBron left and he did all that, people burned his jerseys and did all that crazy stuff. They didn't care, you know, about everything that he did for them previously. So I think that that situation, and every time that he goes back to OKC, it's always a storyline, and he realizes that this is something he's going to have to deal with all the time. And now it's not the fact that he's a great basketball player. It's like, you did this. And people can harp on situations, you know, for something that you made a decision about for your own life. But I definitely, you know, give him props for standing up. Like you said, you know, as black men and as black athletes, they need to be able to speak out and say how they really feel about situations and be able to be upfront and candid and be honest about the things that they go through, you know, because they're not just athletes. Like, people look at them as just an athlete, but people don't look at them as a person or as a black man, that I still go through these same everyday struggles that you go through. Just because I can bounce a basketball and put it through the hoop, that doesn't stop people from saying, you know, these same things about me. So I definitely give him kudos for it. I think, you know, I don't have an issue with the statement at all.
I just feel like, you know, it's better he gets it before it's too late. Mm-hmm. I just feel like every black man should be woke as a kid. You just have to have that awareness that you're not under the same rules as, you know, other races. It's just the reality of what it is. And in this day and age, it's so blatant. It's like in your face. You can't even deny it. It's crazy. So, like y'all said, I'm happy that he came to that conclusion. You know, I don't know if he's – my question for him is he just now – has he always been there, or and just speaking out on it now? Or has he just really full circle, just like, dang, you know, you see what I'm saying? Maybe that woke him up, because I know you say he doesn't have to, and to me, he does.
Right.
You have that type of prestige. You have that many people, that many eyes on you. You have to speak up on that, because you have a voice. And when he could just tweet something, and then it's going to circulate around the world in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just the power he has. If he ignores it, then everybody's going to ignore it. Well, most people going to ignore it, you know, except for the people that's woke. So I don't want him to be I don't want it to just stop with him. You know, definitely keep educating yourself and help others, athletes like yourself, educate themselves so they know what's going on. They can speak up too, because right now we can't afford to be passive. It's literally a matter of life and death, as we see. And all that passive stuff got to go out the window. You know, you got to make a stand and just live with it, live with the results.
Yeah, I'm anxious. I would like to know that, too. What you brought up is Was it something you just finally, you know, felt comfortable in your own skin to finally say out loud? Or, you know, what triggered it? Was it the GQ thing with Cap? You know, that triggered it maybe? Like, just want to know what triggered it. But like you said, the end all be all, just that you got to that place and did say something. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in, as always, man. We truly appreciate it. Get over to Finest Mad, new issue. MyMomSports.com, and we'll see you back here next week, same time, same place. And follow us on social media. We got a couple surprises coming this week, so definitely do that for us. You guys got anything else to add? Or you good?
I won't say it.
Just go ahead, get over it.
Fly Eagles, fly.